thinking about this together. Father, we thank you so much for our Lord Jesus. We praise you that if anyone is judge, it is him who loved us and gave himself for us. So we pray now, Lord, as we hear these words that he speaks to us in the revelation of Jesus, that our hearts would be open to receive what he has to say. Stir us, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, in a moment, as our service progresses, I am going to ask you to stand and to affirm together with me our faith in the words of the Creed. And one of the things that we will affirm together is that we believe that Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. And I don't know about you, but that is a hard thing to imagine, isn't it? Because there are a lot of living and there are a lot of dead. And to imagine all of those billions and billions of people all gathered together to the throne, that is a hard thing to even begin to imagine, isn't it? And so our passage this morning, one of the things that it is here for is to give us a few pictures to help us begin to imagine what that almighty day will be like. And so if you've got a Bible with you, do grab it, open up at Revelation chapter 20. It's pretty much the second to last page in your Bible, and we're looking at verse 11, which says the following. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And see, what this is saying essentially is that when Christ returns, when we see him in the way of his glory and of his splendor, it will be as if everything else in all of creation, the heavens, the earth, everything, will be almost as if it didn't even exist. Right? Not literally that it ceases to exist, but just in the face of Jesus, it will vanish away in the distance. So small and insignificant will it all be. That's what this is saying here. And so whether it be, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo or Taylor Swift or Winston Churchill, or actually, you know what, even your dead loved ones that you are looking forward to being reunited to on that day, all of them will fade away in that moment as if they weren't even there. So glorious will Jesus be. So weighty will the majesty of his presence be. Do you see that? It fades away as if it's not even there. That is the one, my brothers and sisters, who is coming again to judge the living and the dead. That is the one. Verse 12 goes on. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Now, before I move on, I want to say this, and I've already said it at the beginning of the service, and we always say this when we talk about Christ's judgment, is that fundamentally Christ's coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead. This is the height of good news. Did you know that? Because what it means is that everything in our world, everything in creation that has been corrupted and spoiled, that is not as it ought to be, will be put right by Jesus. He is coming again to renew the earth. Right, he is coming again to make the world so that all the things that cause you pain, all the things that cause you heartache, all the things that cause you to stay up at night, anxious, worry, all those things will be no more. Right, that is wonderful news, isn't it? It is a good day. But in order to get to that, and this is the message of the whole of Scripture, in order to get to a world like that, the world must be purged of evil. Do you see that? I mean, that's just basic logic, isn't it? If you want a perfect world in which there is no evil, in which which there is nothing that is spoiled and corrupted, you must rid that world of evil and corruption before it can be that, can't it? It has to be that way. And you know, Stephanie, we don't live in a Disney kind of world, do we? I don't know if anybody here likes watching Disney. I have to, because I'm a parent of young ones. For my sins, I watch a lot of Disney. And the thing about Disney is that in Disney, by the end of the film, it's always happily ever after, isn't it? The baddies lose out, yeah? They get their comeuppance. But how many of us know that in the real world, that is not always how it works? In fact, it's often, it doesn't work that way, is it? It's true, isn't it? And we see that throughout history. We know that there have been so many injustices perpetrated. We live in a world where there are so many innocents who cry out for justice and they never receive it. They never get it. We live in a world in which there have been so many people who've done wrong things, deeply wrong things, in a world in which people are murdered, in a world in which people wage war, in a world in which villages are pillaged. And many, many people, right, dictators and caliphs and military, you know, generals and presidents have done this evil. And they have died thinking that they've got away with it. And the message of Revelation chapter 20 is you haven't got away with anything. Everyone will have to stand and give an answer to Jesus on that day. Every drop of innocent blood that has been shed, the tears of every innocent that have been cried, Jesus will do right in his world. And that is glorious news. It is glorious news. The worrying thing, though, is what about me? Where will I stand on that day when my books are opened? That is a big question, isn't it? How confident do I feel on that day? If heaven keeps a record of everything that is done on earth, how confident do I feel on that day when my books are opened? Now, look, you might be sat here this morning thinking, well Mike, look, I've never murdered anyone, right? And that's a good thing. That's a very comforting thing to hear. I've never pillaged any villages. That's also a comforting thing to hear. But let me ask you to imagine something with me for a second. Just imagine that somebody had a tape of your whole life. Well, let's just say they've got 5 minutes of the greatest hits of the darkest things that you have ever done. The darkest things that you have ever thought. And I said to you, do you know what? Ruth has got a copy of this and we are going to play it up on this screen here right now. Look, if you are anything like me, you would rather die than have that played up on the screen, wouldn't you? Be honest. Give me an honest answer. You would rather die, literally rather die, than have that played up on the screen. Because you know what? If that were played up on the screen, the person that is sat next to you would turn into a puff of smoke because they'd be running for the door so fast to get as far away from you as humanly possible. And we all know that that's true, don't we? We all know that there is darkness in our history, darkness in our lives. And when those books are open, it is not going to be a pretty story. Heaven has the whole tape. Right? God has it all written in his books. How confident do you feel? How confident do you feel on that day? Do you know what? The Bible, God's Word, Scripture, if it is anything, it is a book that is honest about the human condition. It is a book that is honest about where we will stand on that day. And the reality is, you read this book from cover to cover, the reality is the message, the overwhelming message is that on that day, not a single one of us will stand with our heads held high. Not a single one of us. Did you notice, my friends? Did you notice? notice that there is another book. Did you notice that in the reading as Rosemary read? There is another book. Verse 12. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. Verse 15 mentions this book of life. In the next chapter, chapter 21, it calls it the Lamb's Book of Life. And do you know what? All of these books are open with all of our deeds. And all of us know that in those books, we stand condemned. And yet our ultimate destiny doesn't hang actually on what those books say. All of us stand condemned on the basis of those books. Our ultimate destiny hangs on this Lamb's Book of Life. Is our name written in that Lamb's Book of Life? That is the ultimate question. That is the question that every man, woman, and children faces. Is our name written in that book? Because if our name is written in that book, we are forgiven of all that is written in those other books. That is the message. And so what is this book? That we can have our names written in it and be saved. Now look, I don't know how well you know the kind of general story of the Bible, the wider story of the Bible. So this idea of the Lamb, the Lamb's Book of Life, the idea of the Lamb goes all the way back to the Passover. You might know the story of the Passover. So God's people Israel, they're slaves in Egypt. Anybody seen The Prince of Egypt, the film? Right, Prince of Egypt, you've got the story of Moses. They are slaves in Egypt. And God, just before he is about to rescue his people from Egypt, God comes in judgment against all the darkness, all the evil of that land of Egypt in one single night. And there is only one way to be saved on that night. Do you remember what it was? There's only one way to be saved. God's people listen to what God says, right? They trust in his word and they get together and they have some roast lamb together, right? This is the way to be saved. And does anybody remember what they did with the blood of the lamb? You paint the blood of the lamb on your doorposts, right? Judgment is visited on every household in Egypt. But there is a substitute that is offered. Right? The lamb dies in the place of the people. The lamb takes almost the judgment that belongs to the people. And those who are covered in the blood of the lamb are passed over. That's what it's about. And all of that whole story, you know, the Passover, that whole story of the lamb there, that is pointing us forward to the true lamb. Right, the true lamb who is Jesus. The one who suffered. The one who died for us. In our place. So that with him dying, we might be forgiven. We might be passed over on the true day of judgment. That is what that story is about. That is what the gospel is about. Remember that 5 minutes that I just talked about? Up on the screen. That would be a nightmare, wouldn't it? It really would be. That and everything else, Jesus takes the comeuppance. That is ours. That is the message of the gospel. And when we put our trust in him, when we say, yes, Jesus, I receive that sacrifice that you made for me, then we are forgiven. And our names are written in his Lamb's Book of Life. Now, of course, the whole idea of a book of life, it's picture language, isn't it? It's picture language that's intended to teach us the truth about the fact that God keeps a record of us. But in the world of the Bible, so to be written in the book of a king, I mean, this was the practice all over the world at that time, to be written in the book of the king means that you are a citizen of that kingdom. That's what it means. Right? It means that you belong to that kingdom. You're a part of it. It's yours and you belong to it. And so all those who have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, all those who belong to Jesus are members of his kingdom. And as Jesus comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead, We're not there with fear that we will be cast on the wrong side. We are there as those who rejoice at the fact that in and of ourselves, if it were down to us, if it were down to our deeds, we would be condemned. But we've been written in this book of life. So we come rejoicing. We come knowing that in that kingdom we are citizens and members of it. And so let me apply this to us this morning in two ways. Perhaps you're here this morning and you hear these things that I'm saying about Christ coming again in judgment. And there's something within you, something within your heart that is stirring. And you know that there is something to this. And you are unsure as to where you stand. You are unsure where you'll stand on that day. Have you been cleansed by the blood? Have you been written in that book of life? You don't know. And look, if that is you this morning, and you know that God is speaking to you, and you know that He's stirring your heart, and He's calling on you to trust in Jesus this morning, you can do one of two things. You can go away and just forget everything that I've said. You can go home and watch the Sunday afternoon football. You can pretend that none of this happened. But you know what? That is not a very good strategy. Because that day is still coming, according to Jesus. Or you can run to Him. You can say this morning in your own heart, Jesus, I want to belong to You. I want all those things that I'm ashamed of, all those things that I would rather die than be seen up on that screen. I want You to wash me of those things. I want You to cleanse me of those things. I want You to forgive me of those things. And I want to belong to You. I want to be a citizen of Your kingdom. I want to be that this morning. Right where you are, in your own seat. Come and talk to me afterwards if that's you. Or perhaps find a Christian that you know that you can trust and you can talk to them. And if you are somebody who is already a believer, you know Jesus, and you know yourself to be written in this book of life, well, this morning, rejoice. You are a citizen of His kingdom. Remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and live a life of thankfulness for that. And if you're living this morning as though, oh, do you know what, this life is all there is, you're not living with eternity in mind, just remember, you are a citizen of that kingdom. Live like it. You are a citizen of that kingdom. Live like it. Let me pray. Father, we thank You for that coming kingdom. We praise You, Lord, that it is here among us in a foretaste as we love and serve each other, as we are brothers and sisters to each other, and as we're light in the world for Christ now. But as we look forward to that day, forgive us for the ways in which we've lived as if we are simply members of this world's kingdom, the passing darkness, the passing age. Help us, Lord, to live for You, to live with eternity in mind, to live as citizens of that coming kingdom. And Father, if there's anyone whose heart is stirred this morning, who knows that they need that Lamb, Jesus, Father, draw them to You now. Assure them that sins are forgiven as they come to Jesus. Thank You for the joy of new life. It is never too late with You, Jesus. We thank You for this opportunity to turn to You. Amen.